What is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Stone & Sons audio show, a Maker's Podcast. And if you're new here, I'm Sean, your host. Thank you for joining me. Today we're going to be talking about project material and CNCs. So that is the topic of discussion today. I want to get into some CNC talk because that's what I'm getting into as far as what's going on new in the shop. But as far as another topic of discussion, we'll talk about project material and what I've used in the past and what I like to use. So stick around for that. Okay, so I want to thank the patrons, the ones that are dedicated to my Patreon, the ones that support the show, Dylan Ray with D-Ray's Woodshop and Andrew Walker. Thank you guys for supporting. If you are interested in supporting the show, you can go to patreon.com/Stone & Sons Workshop. All right, first I want to talk about the CNC that I've got going on this week. I've finally got all of the packages in. I've got, I think, all the parts that came in little waves. So I got the waste board and the rails first. Then I got my dust collection parts to actually, I think it's the shoe or the boot, whatever you want to call it, to go around the actual router and the bit. And then later I got the controller and then the clamps and everything that goes along with the holding the projects down. And then I got a box that had everything else in it. And it's really cool the way they got this packaged. Inventables is the one that I'm getting all this stuff from. Like, for instance, the waste board has got these little threaded inserts that you have to install on the waste board, and that's attached to the waste board. And then you have some of the rails that make up the frame on the bottom of that waste board, and the hardware that's for that is attached to that. So you don't have just a bunch of hardware just laying there. So you don't have to guess what is used to put this thing together. And all of the instructions are online, and just detailed pictures and instructions and images. So it's been really helpful. So far, I've gotten all of the threaded inserts put into the waste board, and then I've got the frame for the bottom of the waste board put together. And then now I'm going to start on the gantry and start getting the rails and all that stuff put together. So I've just started to get, or actually just started the process of assembling everything, but it looks like it's going to be fairly easy. I won't say how long it's going to take me because I like to be thorough, but it looks like it's going to be okay. I kind of enjoy the process of putting things together, following instructions and that kind of thing. It's kind of therapeutic, kind of gets my mind off of everything else, and I'm focusing on one thing. But I've got the shop kind of, not really the whole shop, but I've got some things tore apart. So where I've got the modular shop storage system that I just built, I don't know, a few weeks ago. Well, actually, it's been more than a month ago. I'll throw a link in the show notes for you guys that have not seen that. But I had the lower unit that's got six big drawers, and then the upper unit has got eight smaller drawers, kind of like a rolling cart from, say, Snap-on or something. It's just a miniature version of that made out of wood. It's just got some smaller drawers about 3 inches high. So I had that on top of the lower unit. Well, I moved it because I need to have the entire work surface of that lower unit for the X-Carve. Right now, I've got all of that taken off, like that upper shelving unit or drawer system. I've got that taken off. I've mounted it somewhere else. I've got the top two drawers of the lower unit taken out, and the top, the actual work surface, I've got it taken loose so I can extend it just a little bit. I need 5 inches from where it's sitting. I need to bring it out a little bit and then add a piece of plywood or something in the back to kind of close in that gap. But I need that extra room for the X-Carve itself. I'm assembling the X-Carve on my outfeed table, which is plenty enough room. So that's where I've started the process. And then once I've got the work surface over here in the corner where it's going to live fixed and ready to go, I'll move everything over and assemble it there so I don't have to move it once I get it all together, because I'm sure it's going to be heavy. It's already heavy enough with the wasteboard and the frame on the bottom. So anyway, enjoying that. So I'll have that hopefully maybe through the weekend, next week sometime, finished. Like I said, I hope to. So anyway, that is what's new with the CNC. I'm really excited about this whole project. So this is going to be a whole different part of the shop. It's going to be a whole different workflow. It's just going to be a separate thing. I'm going to include it and work it into my projects and my videos and my blog post and that kind of thing. But as far as a business goes, I'm going to have part of it just dedicated to doing a separate business. And you've heard me talk about this before on the show, where I want to get my oldest boy involved and teach him about the software and about business and just kind of learning that whole process. He loves technology, and this is a good way to mesh technology and, you know, woodworking together. So he's excited. I'm excited about that. And so that's the CNC. The other part of our topic of discussion is project material. And this is kind of a touchy subject to some folks. You know, do we use reclaimed? You know, are we searching for free material? Do we work with plywood? Are we buying expensive lumber? That kind of thing. And, you know, for me, I think I have mixed it up quite a bit. I love working with Purebond plywood just for the simple fact that it doesn't have any voids or anything in it. And it's, you know, really decent material for several different kinds of projects. I mean, I've used that for a lot of my shop projects. And I've seen other people use plywood for like really involved pieces of furniture. So plywood can be a great choice for different projects. Reclaimed, I used to work with some reclaimed lumber and different things. The barnwood type projects are very far and few between. I don't get into a lot of that here these days just because that type of wood's hard to come by. And, you know, I guess when you do come across some of that type of wood, it's got to be the right project. It's kind of hard to take old barnwood or old reclaimed lumber. I guess you can clean it up depending on what kind of shape it's in. There's several guys out there that I follow on Instagram, watch on YouTube that use reclaimed lumber and make some really awesome stuff. But like I said, I really love the look of that reclaimed and barnwood look. As far as expensive wood or like desirable species of wood, I've worked with several different types of wood. Cherry is probably one of my favorites to work with. If you guys follow me on YouTube or subscribe to me on YouTube or Jay Bates on YouTube, you know that we started in on a project as far as building something out of cherry, which was going to be a vanity. I mentioned this way too much because I don't like to think about it. But that was a lot of cherry that I purchased. And then we started in on a project. I still have some of that wood. It's just going to be, I'll know when the project, you know, when to use that wood when the project comes to mind. One particular wood that I really like to use that I've used recently is Eco Poplar, and I used that on a sliding barn door for my house, and a lot of people didn't know what that was and like where can you get it and that kind of thing. But Eco Poplar has just been heat treated where it like cooks all the sugars and sap out of it and just turns it a different color. So it's really, really cool. I like it. They make Eco Ash as well, but this Eco Poplar is just really light and dry. So it's kind of splintery, but it's just beautiful. It's got a really rich brown color, and especially when you put the finish on it, it turns even darker, and it looks really, really good. And I accented the barn door, and I'll put this that project in the show notes as well. But I used dowel rods, a lighter color. I think it was oak or either regular poplar dowels to accent that barn door, and it just came out really nice. I was really excited about the way that project came out. But, you know, Eco Poplar, the cherry, I've used some maple and some bird's eye maple on a few projects. I don't really get into a lot of the in walnut. I've used walnut quite a bit. And the Osage Orange is a very hard wood that I made a bench out of that I got from Ted Alexander. I've mentioned that project before here on the show. But these are some of the woods that you can go buy from, say, a hardwood dealer or something. Usually when you go to a hardwood dealer, you know what you're after, unless you just want to go check it out and see something you want while you're there and say, hey, I got to have this piece of wood. I don't know what it's for yet, but I'm buying this. But most of the time, you're going to a hardwood dealer to buy a certain, say, you know, maple or walnut or some certain species for a particular project. You know, I like to keep different things on hand as far as like plywood. I like to keep, you know, some poplar and some maple on hand just for whenever I feel the need to, you know, want to use it. I don't keep cherry in stock in my shop or a ton of walnut. Now, I do have some walnut slabs just from a walnut tree that we slabbed up that's been sitting. But if I had a specific project in mind for walnut, I would just go buy what I need. I used to get into saving all sorts of materials, and Jay gave me a lot of flack for that, but I used to have this miter saw station in my shop, and I would save every cutoff, every little piece of wood, and this is when I was first starting out, and I just kept everything because I didn't know what I would use it for later. I didn't know what, you know, what it could be used for at any given time. So, and as soon as I threw everything away to start over, I was starting to miss my little, you know, my cutoffs and my scrap pieces, because as soon as I got rid of everything, I was like, man, I wished I had that piece of wood that I had here just to, you know, last week or whatever it was. So I think we can find ourselves getting into this trap of saving a lot of wood and just hoarding scraps and cutoffs, because you never know when you want to use that piece of wood for a project. Project material can be hard to come by, and it doesn't have to be strictly wood. I mean, some people do a lot of metal work. I'm sure if you're into working with metal that you want to keep some things in stock. I'm not a metal worker, so I don't know, you know, what a metal scrap bin looks like, you know, what kind of scraps metal workers would keep. But I can only imagine it's kind of like woodworking. You want to keep a lot of scraps just in case, you know, just in case you run across a project that you need a piece of metal for. Even like different plastics or acrylics or, you know, whatever else. Our shops can really become crowded with all of the materials that we're trying to save for that, just that one project. So I think my solution for keeping project materials in the shop, number one, if you've got a place nearby, say a home store that carries a particular plywood that you like to use, well, then just keep that. This is just my advice, but keep that plywood there at the home store. Like, if it's within driving distance, don't bring it to your shop. If you're using it every single day and you need it for production or you're a commission type, you know, workflow in your shop, then yeah, keep some in your shop so you don't have to make a trip every day. But if you're not using that plywood every single day, just keep it at the home store. Don't store it in your shop to free up that space. As far as exotics or expensive wood or, you know, certain species, if you use it a lot, yes, keep it in your shop. But if not, then, you know, kind of plan out. Because if you're like me, I don't have a hardwood dealer, say, within 2 hours of where I live. So if I'm going to buy hardwood, I'm going to buy a little bit extra and maybe a couple of pieces of this or that to keep on hand, just in case something comes up soon that I want to use, like, you know, walnut or something like that. Because I don't want to drive 2 hours spend some time at the store and then drive back. That's a full day nearly, or at least half a day, picking out, you know, different hardwoods or whatever you need. So in that situation, then yes, I would keep some in the shop. But as far as scraps and cutoffs, I think there's a line to be drawn unless you do a lot of real, you know, small work or intricate work, then you might want to keep a lot of cutoffs and scraps. But for the majority of us, I think keeping it to a minimum can be to our advantage, because we're not, you know, just crowding our shops with a lot of cutoffs and scraps and that kind of thing. So pick you out a drawer or something, or a shelf in the shop, to keep that stuff to a minimum, and free up some shop space for other things. I don't know. I've learned to not keep a lot of stuff. I used to be bad about that, and now that I don't, I've got one box over here under my table saw where I keep a lot of cutoffs, and that's just like for hardwoods and that kind of thing. I've trained myself to throw away a lot of plywood scraps. The only plywood scraps that I'll keep are the ones that I can cut up for stickers, you know, to stack my lumber on the lumber rack. So I'll keep that. Anything else, I just throw away. Anything above say 2 to 4 foot by 2 to 4 foot, I might keep. Anything under that, I'm getting rid of. So, and I've got one corner where I keep all of my project material other than the lumber rack. I keep all the plywood and other little, you know, small pieces over in a corner by my dust collector, kind of out of the way. I'm debating whether or not to keep that stuff in a different room that I've got in another storage area, just to get that stuff out of the shop. So I need that shop space. I can't build, well, I could if I had, you know, just unlimited amounts of money or whatever, and just build what I wanted to. But unless I wanted to build another shop or build an extension onto my shop, I need to free up as much space as I can. And I think I've got enough room in another area of my storage room off of my carport to store the wood that I need to free up some space in my shop. So anyway, just some food for thought there. You know, just think about that stuff when you're keeping shop, you know, project materials. And I'd be curious to know what you guys are working on, or what kind of project materials you keep in your shop. Do you keep a handful of stuff, or do you just like stockpile everything you can get your hands on? So leave me a comment in the chat or whatever as to what you do. Community on Air. So Eric, I'm sorry if I mess up your name. Eric Osterhout, I think is how you pronounce it. Sorry if I messed your name up. But he's from Pearland, Texas. His Instagram handle is at Eric's_custom_woodworks. And his question is, I have recently cut down a large 3-foot diameter trunk, approximately 40 foot tall live oak. He's got another name here that I'm not going to try to pronounce. It says, from my front yard. He said, I'm wondering if there is any use for this species for project lumber, turning blanks, etc. He says, I've tried to research about it, but there have been conflicting opinions ranging from tough to hard to use to beautiful and nice for furniture. He says, if I have any insight as to the into this, or if he would be wasting his time having it milled. The biggest portion of the trunk is straight, and he would hate for it to turn into wood chips or firewood. If you have, and here's my answer, and you know, others may have a different opinion, you know, cut it up for what you think you might want it for. If nothing else, just cut it up into small blanks or small chunks, to where later you can cut it up into pin blanks or say a bowl. Once you have it cut up into different blanks for different things, leave it in your shop for a while, put it in some bags of sawdust or boxes or whatever, and just store it away and leave it for a while. You may run into, you know, an idea later that you might want to use it for. So I would definitely keep some of it. And if you wanted to slab some of it, and if you have the room for it, I would recommend doing that, because you never know when you might run into this, especially if you have this much lumber. And I know we just talked about keeping what you may or may not use, or visiting a home center or a hardwood dealer for the wood that you need. But if you have access to a log, in this case, live oak, and you have the means to get it milled and a place to store it, then by all means, do that. But if you don't have a place to store it, or if it's going to strain you to have that done, offer it up for somebody else to come take care of it for you. And then, you know, as a thank you, maybe say, leave me a portion of it, or just give me one slab out of this whole log for giving it to them, or something like that. But for smaller stuff, definitely I would say, you know, cut up some blanks for some bowl blanks, pen blanks, you know, maybe some smaller sections for slabs that you can cut up for, say, cutting boards later, things like that. And you can store those things away, you know, in different voids in your shop for later use. So I hope that answers your question. That's what I would do. If you had a specific idea about what you could use it for, then definitely keep it. But I would keep some of it for future projects. So thanks, Eric, for your question. This week's show shout out goes out to Doug Niner. Now, I had a chance to meet Doug in Skytook, Oklahoma, back last September when we made the trip up to Oklahoma for the Skytook event, the woodworking event, the outdoor event that was put on by Ted Alexander and Nick Ferry. So that was a wonderful experience. I loved every part of that event. Hopefully we can get, you know, an event back in into the works that is kind of like that. I like that hands-on mingling with a lot of different creators and Instagrammers and woodworkers just as a whole. And from my personal experience, I had a lathe out there and I turned some mallets and got some people in on the lathe and was kind of showing how I do things as far as technique and the shape and design of my mallet. But then also I got to work with a lot of kids from our community putting together tool totes. And that was a really, really cool experience. But Doug was there. Doug had a booth. He has a real vision for really good images, and his design and graphics are really good. He's just a really neat guy. So check out Doug Niner on Instagram. His Instagram handle is @dnhandcrafted, and his website is dnhandcrafted.com. Now I want to go to Instagram. We're going to look up Doug and check out some of his stuff. Okay, so we're inside Instagram Live, and I've got Doug Niner's Instagram page pulled up. Doug says I'm a hobby woodworker who likes to share what he's working on through photos and videos. Now he's into Fusion 360. He has a tutorial series. He has a link there in his Instagram bio. Go check that out and let him know that you heard about him on the podcast. Going back a little ways, I want to look at a stool that he made, and one of the thumbnails that he made was just really, really good. So he made a shop stool, and this is the thumbnail for the video, I guess. But it's an entry for a 2x4 challenge that was going on, let's see, back in July of 2017. But every time I see this thumbnail, I'm thinking, that's just a really cool looking thumbnail. If you guys listening on the podcast want to check this out, go look at Doug Niner's Instagram page and just scroll down till you see it. It's really good. But anyway, he does some really cool stuff. He's got some really good images on Instagram. His feed is what I call just phenomenal. So there you go, Doug Niner on Instagram. Check him out. All right, so wrapping up the show, so we talked about project material. Whatever you use, just make something. And I want to encourage you guys to share that stuff on Instagram. Tag me, if you would, with your different project materials, what you got going on. I'd be glad to share that, all that kind of stuff here on the podcast and the live stream. The question from Eric. I appreciate him submitting that question. If you have a question, go to the website at stoneandsons.net/audio. You'll see over in the sidebar, if you're on the desktop, you'll see it says submit a question. Click there, take it to a Google form, and you can fill out three or four blanks there, and I'll read your question on the show. And I would love for you to do that for me. Now, right below there, you'll see another link that says leave a voicemail question. If you click that, even from mobile, it'll just take you straight to a number. Just call it. It's a Google Voice number. And leave me a voicemail with a question. I'd be glad to play that here on the show as well. And those questions are always, always appreciated. Now, last week I mentioned about some giveaways coming up. I was going to do it this week. Not quite ready, but we have some really cool giveaways coming up. I'm really excited about it. So be sure that you're subscribed here to the podcast. I'll show you the artwork here for the live streamers. There's the artwork. It's a yellow background. It's got my picture there, my logo, and it says a Makers Podcast across the top. Look for that artwork wherever you are subscribed to podcast. Subscribe to the podcast, and that way you'll stay up to date. Follow us over on social media. Wherever on YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and as I said before, you can support us over on Patreon, and that would be appreciated as well. So guys, I thank you for tuning in today. Always stay tuned for the live stream, and be sure to check out the podcast and share it when you can. Thanks. Hey, before you go, make sure to subscribe to the podcast anywhere podcasts are played by searching for Stone and Sons. Also, to get notifications when I go live, follow me on Twitch and subscribe to me on YouTube. You can find all of the links below or in the description, including the show notes from today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.